Now, one of the things you might know about me from hints I've dropped over the years is that I'm a lover of many fine foods, and I've always been interested in most of them, including cheese, but I didn't know that much about it. And I thought, well, what should we be looking for when we're buying cheese? What goes best with it? And how can we learn a little bit more? So I invited in Susanna Wansel, a local cheesemonger from Humclosen, to tell me a little bit more. And the first thing I noticed when she came in to chat to me the other day was the rather strong aroma when she opened the bag.
So I've bought some cheeses for you to try. Two English, actually British, one English, one Welsh, and two French cheeses.
And is that sort of quite representative of what you deal with and what you sell normally?
Yes, I try to have a mixture. Here in East Anglia, we don't have lots of local cheese. It's not a great dairy area. So the British cheeses come from around the UK and some from Ireland. And then I have a good selection of French cheeses as well.
So is there a particular reason why we're not so much into cheese production in this part of the world then?
I think the farming around East Anglia has gone very much towards arable and vegetable farming. So there's less dairy. There's a lot of pork and poultry. Just seems to be less dairy farms.
Okay, so you don't actually make the cheese yourself though, do you?
No, I'm a cheesemonger.
A monger. I love the fact that it's a monger, like an ironmonger or a fishmonger, that kind of thing.
Yes.
I always wondered what the word was for it.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So you mung, do you? Is that the verb?
I don't know what the word to monger actually means. I think it's to do with the fact that we do some work to the cheese in the way that a fishmonger fillets the fish, and an ironmonger, I think, makes things out of iron, like candlesticks and things like that.
So what do you do when the cheese arrives with you? What sort of state is it in?
Well, usually I receive whole cheeses.
So that's sort of round blocks, is it?
Yeah, big, sometimes up to 40 kilos.
And you do sometimes see those, especially in French supermarkets, don't you, which are quite expensive to buy a large block like that, a large wheel of cheese.
Absolutely. So our job is to cut them, the cheeses, into more manageable size pieces for
you. So it fits in your fridge.
Yeah. And also to keep them in good condition in the meantime, so that they don't dry out, and to give the customers the right paper to wrap them in, and all of that sort of thing is part of our job.
And do all of the cheeses sit in the fridge normally, or are any of them meant to be kept out of the fridge?
In this day and age, and in modern houses, I would recommend to keep all cheese in the fridge, really. If you have a larder at 12 degrees, then that's ideal. Specialist cheese shops will tend to build cellars that create those conditions. So in reality, the fridge is a little bit too cold, and our 21 degree house is a bit too hot.
So you need something in between.
Yeah.
So what we should do is build larders onto our houses then.
That would be the ideal, but it's a little bit unrealistic, to be honest.
Okay, now I'd love to ask you more about how you got into doing this, but let's have a nibble of something, because I'm intrigued.
Sure.
What would you like to start with?
The Lancashire would be a good cheese to start with.
So just describe what that looks like for us.
So it's a crumbly cheese. I've chosen to have quite a young Lancashire. They get matured up to beyond a year old, but I buy it at about 3 or 4 months, just because I have other older cheeses. So it's nice to have something that's quite crumbly, creamy, and a little bit more lemony tasting, which that sort of freshness would diminish as the cheese gets older.
Mm.
So have a little.
I think that's quite a large piece you've got in there. That's great.
Thank you.
Break
a bit off.
I'll break a bit of that off. Okay. So what sort of colour would you describe that as?
It's quite a pale, milky colour. You'll see I've got a cheddar coming later that's a lot darker.
Mm. So it's quite a crumbly cheese, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, the texture is quite crumbly.
And it smells of... what do you get from that?
I think it's quite milky,
the smell.
And then there's a little bit of sort of sweet honey sweetness almost on the scent.
And what would you normally eat this type of cheese with?
This is a great all-rounder. Mm.
I could see that,
Fantastic in a sandwich. It's kind of one of those typical ploughman's lunch type cheeses. Great alongside a bowl of soup. Mm. It's really versatile, and it melts really well as well.
Oh, does it? Yeah. Mm. Well, it melts in my mouth. Yeah. That's an amazing one. Okay, thank you. So what was that called, sorry? That's
Kirkham's Lancashire. And the name Kirkham's is important to try and remember when it comes to buying Lancashire, because this is the last farmhouse unpasteurised Lancashire being made in the UK.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we're hoping that will actually increase rather than decrease. Graham Kirkham has recently sort of solely taken over from his mum in making the cheese. It was sort of revived by Mrs. Kirkham. And we're hoping that other people will follow in the revival of Lancashire, and that it won't disappear.
Okay, yeah. Right. What's the next one you'd like to try?
So the next one is a cheddar.
Yep.
It's called Hufford, and it comes from Wales.
Right.
It's an organic cheddar. And this one has been made by the Holden family. And the Holden family are quite an important part of the organic movement. They were one of the first people who sort of brought about certification of organic farming in the UK around the 70s.
Right. So that looks a lot more orange than I would expect a cheddar to necessarily.
Yeah, so it hasn't got any colouring added, but I would say that this comes from quite a lot of carotene in the milk, probably coming from very green grass in the pastures of Wales, where it's... Well, not at the moment, but normally quite wet and lush.
Yeah, that smells lovely, actually, that one. That's quite a distinct smell in comparison to the other one, isn't it? There's a bit more about this.
Yeah, it's got a herbiness to it, it's got a nuttiness to it, and this has got a really lovely long flavour, so you'll taste this for 5-10 minutes after eating it, at least.
So is that counting as a mature cheese?
So these truckles of cheddar are quite small, so they... mature nice and quickly. Some cheddars you could mature for up to 2 years, whereas this one was usually ready around about a year old. And the nice thing about having a summer cheese is that, you know, this was made last summer, so we're getting really good summer grass in the cheese.
Okay. You mentioned you had a goat's cheese with you as well. Can I just say as well, thank you for not bringing in any blue cheese, because we chatted before and I said that was not really my thing. What makes it blue, just out of interest?
The blue is an added strain of penicillin.
I mean, it's amazing that anyone thought that was a good thing.
It is. It adds a little bit of flavour.
You're a fan of that, are you?
I do quite enjoy it. What I find is that the blue adds a bit of pepperiness. And if you have a really, really rich, milky cheese, sometimes the contrast of a little bit of heat is actually quite nice. But I can see you're not convinced.
No. I think I like the look of this one, though. Is this a goat's cheese?
This is a goat's cheese, and this is not blue on the rind. It's actually what we call an ash rind.
Okay.
And back in the day, the wrapping of a cheese in ash or sprinkling of ash would have been a precursor to cheese paper. So when you were taking your cheese to market, you would coat it in ash so that customers would know that the outside of the cheese was sort of could have anything on it.
So not for consumption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the inside was nice and clean and sterile.
Yeah. Now, goat's cheese I've had on pizza before, and that is incredible, isn't it, when it's melted?
Yeah, like it does melt well, and the flavour comes through, and it goes very nicely with lots of vegetables.
Yeah, that's so very strong, isn't it?
It is quite strong, yeah. Okay. It's quite a distinctive flavour. The goatiness is distinct.
That is very nice. But very different, again, from the others we've tasted.
Yeah. It's much more creamy.
That's the one that leaves me reaching for a bit of water afterwards, I must admit.
It's definitely a stronger flavour. But, again, a little bit of this goes a very long way.
Yes.
So you can use it for cooking and just crumble it a little bit onto something to give it a really good flavour.
So tell us, Susanna, how did you get into the cheese business in the first place?
Slightly accidentally. After graduating from university, I needed a bit of cash on my first summer holidays coming back from college. And I heard about a job in a cheese shop. And at the time, I wasn't sure what I was going to do next. And so I thought that would be a good thing to do in the meantime. And I actually come from a dairy farming background, so I quite like that connection to dairy farming.
So you already knew quite a bit, presumably, when you started working
really
in the shop.
I didn't really know that much about cheese, to be honest. I loved cheese. And then it was really the connection to farming that's kept me in it, because this was 15 years ago now, and it was accidental at the time. So the reason why I haven't gone back to plan A, as it were, is because, you know, I get to visit farms. I get to try and explain to customers a little bit about the connection from farming through to the product. So it's that's kept me in, really.
And most of your business is at food fairs and things like that, is it?
Yeah, so I do a regular stall at Ely Market, and that's every Saturday. And that's really important because obviously it's a fresh, perishable product. So to keep it in stock, I need to be doing a weekly slot. And then every now and again, I disappear from Ely in order to do a larger fair or a one-off food festival or community festival or something like that. So I do events around Cambridge pretty often.
So what would you expect that we would do, as well as eating the cheeses with vegetables and things like that, if we're thinking about crackers or other accompaniments or biscuits or bread? Are there certain cheeses that go better with those, or is it just preference?
It's really preference. I mean, I think some of the cheeses can be drier in texture, and so if you're having them with a drier cracker, then you might want something else, like a bit of chutney or in between. Otherwise, the whole thing doesn't work. And likewise, in a sandwich, you might want to add in some tomato or some ham or something. Just really a sort of texture thing more than anything else. But I find that cheese is a really useful food because it's ready-made, basically. And a lot of my customers now will say, you know, that they're going to have a cheese board and a bottle of wine for their Saturday tea instead of, you know, ordering in or, you know, cooking
so
a big
meal.
Just
get some nice bread, get some cheeses.
And everything's done. You don't have to do any cooking.
No, and very little washing up as well.
Absolutely. and also, you know, it's not hot, so it doesn't have to be eaten in a rush. So if you're watching a film or, you know, have friends around, you know, it's something that can be lingered over. So quite a nice way to eat.
That does sound lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if we want to find out more, we can head to your website, I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
Humclosen.com. Just tell us about the name Humclosen before we finish.
Humclosen is, it literally means home closes, and a close is a small field, so home fields. And it actually is an old Fen dialect expression that I found when I was reading about Fen farming. So I thought, seeing as we're here in East Anglia, it was quite a nice name for the business.
And we wish you the very best of luck with all the rest of your cheesing.
Thank you
very much for coming in.
You're very welcome. Thank you.